Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. A Penny for Your Thoughts, written by contemporary American poet Penny Johnson, is sure to delight any poetry lover. Penny's poetry has been published nationwide and worldwide, some of her poetry becoming song lyrics. This poetry collection explores a wide range of themes and seeks to provide inspiration and satisfaction while enhancing the natural splendor of the world. Penny is an international poet, a member and advisor to the International Society of Poets. She helped the society write the largest poem for peace still in progress, sent it to the United Nations, a semi-finalist in the North American Poetry Open, and a semi-finalist in the International Poetry Open, sponsored by the Library of Poetry International, also a National Author Registry member. A pleasure to welcome back on the program once again, Penny Johnson, author of A Penny for Your Thoughts. Penny, welcome back. It is always a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you for joining us again.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be there. And the audience needs to know that I write poetry to lift people up and make them happy. That's why I write poetry and make them feel more satisfied. You know, the world, we've all been through this horrible illness and coronavirus and all that. And everybody's sad. So I try to write poetry that helps us have hope. That's what I try to do.
Well, and you do that. That's why it's so much fun to have you on and talk about what you're doing and reading the reviews, an award-winning book, A Penny for Your Thoughts. I love the title of that. That sort of sums it all up. And Penny Johnson's legacy in this, the book is so well done. Let's talk specifically about this book. What was the motivation for writing A Penny for Your Thoughts?
Well, and on the front of the cover are three roses, one for my husband, two for my children. The penny down on the right is for me. My name is Dr. Jane Penelope Johnson. It's Dr. Jane Penelope Carr Johnson. And I got a doctorate of letters from London, England, when I went to the International Society of Poets Convention in Washington, D.C. And England sent me a doctorate for my letters. I could not believe that. Okay. So now I'm Dr. Jane Penelope Carr Johnson. And so University of Kentucky has given an award in my name. And it's in perpetuity. That's a big, long word. It means ongoing, for the freshman poet that is the best poet, and there's a monetary award with that. And so a girl came from the University of Kentucky and said, how would I like to do that? So, oh gosh, it would be wonderful. I would love that. So they have an award in my name. Then I was surprised. I love this. It's shocking. I wrote my first poem when I was 10. I lived one block away from the school, and I looked out my back window, and the school was afire. And I thought, you know what? This was on a Saturday. If we'd been in that school, we would all perished. So I wrote a poem, and they put it in the paper. It was Danville, Kentucky, a little small town close to Lexington, Kentucky, where I live. And it said, you know, we should make something out of our lives because you never know if it's your last day or not. So that poem went everywhere. And a friend of mine was a professor at DePaul University. He said, I carry that little poem with me everywhere I go. I try to make something out of my life every day to do something, you know, for the world, to do something for people, so on and so forth. But A Penny for Your Thoughts came, and my husband was such a help to me because he said, you know, you have this gift for poetry, which I've had since I was 10, and now I write poetry. Anybody, like, say if they want new wedding veils, or I had a principal that wanted a poem to give to the children that were going to graduate. I've had people that were going to retire from jobs, and a boss wanted a poem for them. And that's what I do. I continue to do that. And there's one poem we all know. All of us know this one poem. All of us together. What is it? The Star-Spangled Banner. It started out as a poem, right?
Yes. Interesting.
Our national anthem, right? It started out as a poem, Francis Scott Key. We all say that at ball games and so on and so forth. So A Penny for Your Thoughts is my poetry book that I wrote. And I wrote it in 2004. And people still ask for it at Barnes & Noble, other places, and other bookstores, and it went into junior high schools and high school libraries, couldn't believe it, around the country, and internationally, couldn't believe it, but it did. And then I had one poem, Florence Henderson interviewed me on her show, Poetry Today in New York, 16 million people coming in to work in the morning, and I wrote a bouquet of poets, and she read it, and she said, oh, what a beautiful poem. And she came to the International Society of Poets Convention in D.C., And she loved poetry. She said, what a beautiful poem. I said, thank you very much. And then there was another lady there, and she said, you know, if I could write one poem to make somebody happy, then I'm a success. I said, I love that. If you could write one poem that can change somebody else's day or make them happy, that would be great. But the poetry that I write, you know, it doesn't always appeal to every person, but there'll be some poem in my book that will appeal to you. Would you like me to read a couple of my poems for you?
Yes, if you would. And while you're doing that, if you just joined us, our guest on the program is Penny Johnson. Now, Dr. Penny, congratulations on that honor. I mean, this is amazing, the accolades that you're receiving. Well-deserved for the book and the hearts that you're touching, the way you're altering lives. The book is A Penny for Your Thoughts. You'll find it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the usual places. And Penny, if you would, give us an example of several of the poems in the book, A Penny for Your Thoughts.
Okay, here's one called Beauty Beyond Belief. Leaves of scarlet, gold, and purple hue, swaying on tree limbs, falls wave uplifting you. By day, a brisk breeze, night falls, almost a freeze. Each day more gorgeous than the one before. Moving forward, more beauty, much more. Bits of ice crystals on windows of cars. Heads turns upwards to drink in the stars. Harvest is coming soon, look at the moon. October takes our breath away. But November is here to stay. But October's memory will never go away. That's one, Beauty Beyond Belief. And then I have another one that was my husband's favorite. I'll get that one for you just a second.
Again, all the books available at the usual places, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Link onto our website to get information. Get the Amazon link there as well. It's very simple to remember. Penny Johnson, and her book is A Penny for Your Thoughts.
Okay, this is called A Mighty Leader. Does a leader step out front and others fall in behind? Or does the leader line up last, pushing others toward the goal line? Are leaders born or are they made? Do they rise up from long, hard work, or do they think and plan resting in the shade? Can people make it without a leader anyway, or must a leader lead every single day? If you're a leader, you know it. Don't tell others how to live, show it. For it's a leader's gift to lift others up so they can drink from life's victory cup.
That is so well done and well read as well. Penny Johnson is back, our guest on the program. You can see why we had Penny back multiple times. Such a fascinating talent that she has and shares now, just not just with the people in the U.S., but internationally as well. Talk about writing poetry. How long does it take? Where do you get the ideas, and how long does it normally take to finish a poem?
The audience, whatever they want, is say, you know, we've been married 50 years. We want some new wedding vows. We're going to have a big party. And I'll think, and I'll look at them, and I'll write them wedding vows. And then I got this wonderful letter. Of all the gifts we got our 50th wedding anniversary, your poem was the best, and we've got it in a gold frame hanging up over our couch. I say, very good.
Wow.
Isn't that nice? And so I look at the audience. What do they want? Who do they want the poem to be read to? And when you study to be a writer, there's fine writing, people that have college educations and doctorates. Then there is what we would call general audience, you know, people that are, you know, high school graduates. And then we have people that maybe never finished high school. So you write either up or in the middle or down to those people. So you find out, you know, what would please them, what would make them feel good, what would help them. And so after I find out a little bit about them, I'm able to please them by figuring out who the audience is, how it would, you know, lift them up, how that they could read it to someone else and have them be lifted up. And so I continue to write song lyrics for Hilltop Records, Hollywood, California, for 16 years, song lyrics. Cannot believe that. They set the music and the orchestration, and I wrote the song lyrics for 16 years. And it was amazing. They'd say, we need some song lyrics for you in about a week. And I said, oh, gosh, I don't have mine. I said, you'll get it. I get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and write it. And they would send back and say, we're going to take them. Amazing. I've been writing poetry since I was 10. I don't know how I do it or why I do it. So I always ask everybody that, you know, as a professor, some, you know, are poets born or are they made? So I always say this funny little thing. Dog in at me it was my first spelling lesson. I loved that in second grade. And I loved English. I loved it. So then it was time to write a poem or write a paper. I loved it, and everybody else in the class did not. But I loved to be a writer. And then when I was in high school, I was the editor of the school paper. And then I joined the International Society of Poets because they invited me to do that. I went to Washington, D.C. twice. This is lovely. And the third year they asked me to come, and I could not come because my mother was ill. They used my book, A Penny for Your Thoughts, as an example of how to write good poetry. Sent me a big trophy. Could not believe it.
Wow.
I was shocked.
Nice.
Lovely. My husband's got it in a box in the basement. Lovely. They said, we're showing this A Penny for Your Thoughts. We're going to show you how to write good poetry by Penny Johnson. And I could not believe it because I couldn't go because my mother was ill. And I said, I'm so blessed. Thank you very much. And they said, well, we think that everybody learns something from your talent for poetry and your gift from poetry. So that's how that all came about. So when you have something that you love to do, you have something you feel like you know, lift people up, will make them happy, you continue to do that. And so I continue always to do that. And my first poem I wrote is 10. Are you ready? I'm 81 now, and I'm still writing poetry.
Yeah, well, a young 81, a youthful
yes.
81, and it's
because
amazing.
My granddad lived to be 95.
Oh, yes. So you got a long,
live old.
You got many more poems to write in your lifetime. So like 7 decades of doing this. Talk about the power of poetry. I have such admiration for people like you with such talent to touch people with a few words, with the cadence that you come up with, the rhyming scheme. All of that is so powerful. Talk about poetry. And do you think it gets a fair shake today? Do we sort of put poetry in the background, or is it coming back again?
Well, I think this, once you get a poem that means something to you, you share it with your family and friends. And I even have friends out on the West Coast that love my poetry. And one was in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and this is Kentucky. She ordered 4 of these books. 3 for her children's birthday, 1 for herself. I could not believe it, but she did. And so you can get it at Barnes & Noble. You can get it at other bookstores, what have you. And then in some schools, junior highs and high schools, they're teaching poetry from this book. And the University of Kentucky gave me this wonderful, wonderful award. It's a Dr. Jane Carr Johnson Poetry Award, and it's monetary, and it's in perpetuity. That's a big old long word. It means onward, forever. That they would say, Jane Carr is my maiden name. It's Dr. Jane Carr Johnson Poetry Award for the freshman that will be the best poet. And so there's money to give to that and an award for that. At the University of Kentucky, I was amazed by that. She came to my house. I said, why me? She said, well, you're the best poet we've ever read. I said, thank you very much. I said, even better than Emily Dixon. She said, yes. I said, whoa, totally cool. So I just say this. You have to be creative, and you have to be gifted to write poetry. And the gift is this. I cannot not write poetry. How's that? I have to write poetry. It's just something that is inside of me to help people along. Like there was, this is sad, but it's very helpful. There was a man whose wife had Alzheimer's. And he would not come out of his bedroom, and she had passed away. Well, I met a couple, and her husband had Alzheimer's. And I shook his hand. She said, he doesn't know you. She said, will you write me a poem? I said, from his point of view or for yours? She said, from mine. So I wrote her a poem. It's called Love Song. And the last of it says, you don't know it, my dear. I love you still, always did, and always will. And he said, you know, my dad would love to know that. And I said, okay, give him the poem. He said, and he called me and said, my dad's come out of the bedroom. I said, that's lovely. He said, he's not the only one with family that has an Alzheimer's patient. I said, correct. So you never know who you're going to help. And this was clean across the country. I couldn't believe this. So you never know who you're going to help. You never know who you're going to touch. You never know if your poetry is going to lift people up, make them happy, give them hope, whatever. So when I went to this International Society of Poets convention, I met wonderful poets. I met one from an Indian reservation. She was lovely. She had on her Indian dress. I met somebody from São Paulo, Brazil. I met somebody from Africa. I met somebody from Korea. I met somebody from England. I met somebody from France. I met people from all over the world.
Wow, yes.
And they came to Washington, D.C. It was amazing. One thing we had in common, we all believe in spreading love through our poetry. We always want to love through our poetry. And that's the one thing poets have in common. We want our poetry to show love. And so that's one thing we have in common. It's loved meeting all these people. And so you meet new friends, and then you learn from them, and then you teach them what you have written. This little girl from the reservation, and she was so sweet. I love this. She said, I'm not going to leave my reservation. She said, because if I leave, my tribe will die out. She said, if I come out into America and be a teenager, in America, then if I come off the reservation, my tribal dad, I'm going to stay. I was so proud of her. She had a little feather in her hair, and I said, oh, gosh, I'm so proud of you. That is wonderful. And she gave this form about how she was not going to leave the elders, and she was not going to leave her tribe, and we just loved that. It was stunning. And the man from Africa was lovely. And his poem was about a rose. I said, Bill, how do you know about a rose? You were from Africa. They don't grow roses in Africa. He said, Christian school, we saw films, and I saw a rose. I love that. And he said, you know, like, if I were to give you a rose, it's sure to give you a special day. And I said, boy, that is a lovely poem. And so you meet people from all over the world, and it's just the most wonderful experience. And the one thing I loved was human beings are all alike everywhere. We're all just alike, you know. No matter where they come from, what continent, what state, wherever, everybody wants recognition. Everybody wants to be well. Everybody wants to contribute. Everybody wants to make the world a better place. That's what I find in my poetry.
And you're able to deliver that. A penny for your thoughts. It's been around. I'm surprised how long it's been around and how it's still impacting people. People pick it up and impact it now just like they did, 15, 20 years ago when they read a penny for your thoughts. And the nice thing is, you mentioned before, maybe you're not going to like everyone in there. I would say you're more than likely going to, but it's nice to have in your collection, isn't it? This book in your collection, when you need a little uplifting information, uplifting reading, you need to be nourished, you can go and find something that will do that for you.
Yes. And then I have something very personal that I like to share.
Sure.
My husband, my sons. Willie, you always do what you say you'll do. That's exactly why I love you. Buddy, what did you say? It made my heart swell. You say anything worth doing is worth doing well. Robbie, since first I bounced you on my knee, I knew exactly what you'd be, everything and everything the world allowed. You were born to make me proud. That poem won an award. And it was my husband and my sons couldn't believe it, but it did. And they love that. Yeah, my family, they love that. Yeah. And so when you learn to be a writer, you write about what you know about. So what do you know about most? Your family, of course. So my family was so proud of that, my husband, my sons. They love that. So I did win an award. And then people will ask me to write them poetry because the word got around. And the University of Kentucky has got an award up there in my name, and there's some monetary for that. And I was shocked that she came from the University of Kentucky. Everybody went to the University of Kentucky but me. Now, I will say this, though. I did graduate from Famous Writing School. Now, you might not know what this is.
Oh, I've heard of that. Yes, I've heard of that.
Westport, Connecticut, right.
Yep.
It's a 3-year course, and I finished that there. The last assignment, are you ready? 5,280-word television show, 2,500-word short story. I told my son, I cannot do it. He said, you'll do it. I said, whoa, I don't know how I could do it. I've been studying 3 years. They said, you will not get your certificate of graduation if you don't finish your last assignment. I not only finished it, I got a B+.
Wow.
They said 80% of people that take this course do not finish it. 20% did. You did, and you're number one. Can you believe that, Rick?
Fantastic. Well, you've got the talent, and someone was able to see that and to nourish you to the point of taking your talent and spreading it literally around the world. I'm so excited that this, the book, A Penny for Your Thoughts, touching people not only here, but all around the world. What are you working on now? I know you've got with people to specific occasions. Are you working on maybe another collection that you'll publish?
Well, what they're going to do, it's amazing. They want to send this book. They want to put it out there like, you know, I'll give you an example, like Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn and Uncle Tom's Cabin and Gone with the Wind and all that. They want this book to go out there to be like a classic, and they want to do that. And it's a group of people, and they said, you know, we feel like that this book, you know, could be far-reaching and could be, you know, a classic. And I said, okay, fine. So they're going to put an ad in a paper, and then they're going to promote that as a book that would be like, say, Simon & Schuster, some name brand publishers that publish books that people read, you know, all through your life. And so they're going to be doing that for me this next month. I cannot believe that. They called me on the phone and said, whoa. I said, of course, thank you very much. And they said, we just feel like that this poetry book, you know, is a great genre to, you know, be something that everybody could, you know, learn from and could enjoy. And so they're going to do that. So I'm saying that is amazing. So that will be a book that will be famous. There'll be, and then this was amazing. I have to share this. It sounds like I'm bragging, but I'm not. My doctor went to New York. My picture was down in Times Square Strathmore's honors Dr. Jane Penelope Johnson for her her poetry, for being a famous poet. I did not know it was a famous poet. I could not believe it. They found it. It was in Times Square, and there's my picture down there. I could not believe it. So they brought me a picture of me in Times Square in New York, and there's my picture, and there's my, you know, a famous poet. And I never thought of myself as being famous, but, well, I guess I am. But I never meant to be famous, but if you continue to do something, I guess finally people find out who you are. And then when they ask me to write them a poem, I will do that, and I'll think about it a little while, and then I'll figure out what they need and if it's helpful and all that. And if I'll talk to them. And we can come up with something that they need and they want. And working together, we can get that done. So that's how I became a famous poet. I don't know how I did, but I tried to ask everybody that were professors, are you born a poet? They said, we think you are. We think you're meant to be a poet. You think that way. You think in rhyme. You think that way. And we'll say this too. Psalms in the Bible, King David. All those psalms are poems. That's what they are, right? Yes,
yes,
absolutely. So, and so I'm a Christian counselor, so I read that when I need to get a poem. I'll read some of that, and then I can write a poem. So that's how I became famous as a poet in New York, across the country,
that's
around
amazing.
The world.
Your doctor is in Times Square, and he's seeing a picture of you and the famous poet, and it's a patient of his. I mean, that's just what an amazing story, and so well earned. And the book you'll see for yourself, A Penny for Your Thoughts. You'll find it at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, all the usual places. Penny, is there a way that people can contact you? To mention several times how people will contact you for special occasions to have poems written. What's the best way to get in contact with you?
It's by word of mouth, really. They'll either see, you know, I can't give them a telephone number because they'd be calling me constantly.
Yes.
It's usually if I've written a good poem and it really means a lot to somebody, they'll tell somebody else and they'll tell somebody else, and then they'll call me or I'll see them at the mall or something like that, and or through the University of Kentucky. Everybody in my family graduated from the University of Kentucky, but I graduated from Famous Writer School, and then the Newspaper Institute of America invited me to study with them. I said, well, what is this? So I took their course. And when I got done, I could not believe it. It's writing for the New York Times. I did not believe that. They said, very few people are invited to study for this. You are qualified to write for any small-town daily, metropolitan area, 300,000 or a million people, like in New York. You're qualified to do that. And so I was shocked. And then I took American Association of Christian Counseling. And so that's in Forest, Virginia. So I write some gospel poetry, and they make gospel songs from that. I never dreamed that would happen to me, Rick, in a million years. But it seems like this. You're hungry to write more when people want it and need it, and
yes,
they feel happy with it. Yeah. And so I try and I think and think until I give them what they need and want, and I don't know how I do it, but it comes to me. I mean, to write song lyrics from Hilltop Records, Hollywood, California, for 16 years, I was shocked.
Well,
but
it's amazing. When you have this passion, when you have this talent, and it's amazing to hear it all started at age 10. It's been nurtured through the years, and a career is so exciting. Like I say, a very youthful 81, if I may repeat that. I mean, and you're still
now,
going
remember,
strong.
Remember, my grandfather lived to be 95.
That's what I'm saying. You've got
old in my family.
You've got a lot of time left to write poetry and songs. Penny, it is always a pleasure. Dr. Penny, always a pleasure to have you on the program. Delighted to hear everything that's happening positive in your life. The book is available, A Penny for Your Thoughts. It's a classic. You'll find it at all the bookstores, and we'll have a link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Penny, a pleasure catching up with you. We'll look forward to doing this again, and thank you so much for being with us on the program.
Thank you so much, and best wishes, and I am so absolutely thrilled to be talking to you again. It's amazing that you know that what I'm trying to do is to make the world a better place and cheer people up and lift them up. That's what I do. Thank you so much, Rick. You're so nice. Thank you so
much.
It
is a pleasure.
And
if you need a little lifting up, A Penny for Your Thoughts is the place to do it. By Penny Johnson, our guest on the program. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.